really need someone to talk to. Work's been crazy lately, and I can't make rent anymore. I can't pay the bills, and I don't know, I'm just stressed. I don't know what to do, so call me back. Look, it was your idea to move to the city. Now I'm here, so why are you being so distant all of a sudden? Did I do something wrong? Who am I kidding? I don't even know if you're gonna hear these.
All right. Hi, welcome to Southridge. My name is Tim. I am one of the volunteers at the church here. Jeff is out this weekend. He had the pleasure of officiating over a wedding for some friends in Pennsylvania, so he asked me to take over this message for today. For this series, we are in the middle of a three-part message series that is titled When God Feels Distant. Jeff spoke last week, brought us into Psalm 22, and today I'm going to be on Psalm 22, and we're going to be in Luke 24. So if you want to get your Bibles ready at home for that and get them earmarked, you can go ahead and do that. So I want to ask you, do you remember a time or perhaps maybe you're in this time right now when you had multiple problems that piled up on you near simultaneously that you thought you would be crushed by the weight of them and you just couldn't see a way through? Or have you ever been so close to something, so close to breaking through, but doubt made you stop? Just short. So today's message is a reminder to us to remember to move forward. In 1952, Florence Chadwick, a world-renowned long-distance swimmer, set out to swim the 26-mile stretch between Catalina Islands and the California coast. She had already swum the English Channel both ways. So this should have been a challenge, but it shouldn't have been something that she could not accomplish. But during that day, there was thick fog settled over the water. She could barely see in front of her. She swam for about 15 hours. She pushed through the exhaustion. But despite her experience and her training, doubt crept in. She couldn't see the shore, and she felt lost in the fog. So finally, she gave up. She signaled for the boat to pull her out. And when she got in, she realized something heartbreaking. She was less than 1 mile from shore. If she had just kept going, she would have made it. At a press conference afterwards, she said, "All I could see was the fog. I think I could have seen the shore. I would have made it." So we all experience seasons of doubt. But how we wrestle with that doubt often depends on where we are in our faith journey. Florence Chadwick's story isn't a story just about swimming. It's a story about life. So how many times have we been in that same fog? Doubt is universal. I am positive that right now, to everybody that I'm speaking to, they are going through one of these things that I'm going to be describing below. It doesn't discriminate by age, experience, or even faith level. It finds a way to creep into all of our lives. For our young children, doubt looks like questioning safety and security. Will my parents always be here? What if I'm not good enough? Why do bad things happen? For teenagers, doubt feels like a crisis of identity. Am I really loved for who I am? Do I belong anywhere? Is faith just something that my parents believe, or is it real for me? And for the young adult, doubt surfaces uncertainty about the future. Did I make the right career choice? Will I ever find the right person? Why does God seem silent when I need direction? If you're a parent, doubt arises in the weight of responsibility. Am I raising my kids the right way? What if I mess this up? Why is God allowing struggle in my family? And for those of us that are exploring faith, doubt can feel like an impenetrable fog, especially if you've experienced hurt, disappointment, or unanswered prayers. Maybe you're asking, is God even real? How can I trust something that I can't see? Instead of walking away, what if you leaned in? What if doubt isn't the opposite of faith, but an invitation to explore it deeper? For those who followed Jesus for years, doubt can feel like disappointment. I thought I'd be further along in my faith by this point. Why haven't my prayers been answered? Maybe you've been praying for a loved one's healing, a prodigal child to return, or a breakthrough in a difficult season, and it just hasn't happened. But what if faith isn't about immediate answers, but it's about trusting that even when we can't see God at work, He's there? It's like the opening story. Couldn't see the shore, but it didn't mean that it wasn't there. So for those facing suffering, doubt takes the form of deep pain. Why did God let this happen? Is He even listening? How do I move forward when I feel abandoned? And sometimes it's not a crisis of belief, it's just exhaustion. You may think, I'll still believe, but I just don't feel anything anymore. We all experience moments where the weight of doubt makes it hard to see clearly. We all face moments when we see or can't see doesn't match what we believe. So the question is what do we do with it? So when we're in the fog of doubt, we can do two things. The first one, we can let doubt paralyze us, like Florence Chadwick, stopping short because she couldn't see the shoreline. Or if you remember from the discussion last week, we can let our doubt propel us toward deeper faith, like David and the disciples who wrestled with doubt but didn't stay stuck. So that's exactly what David wrestled with in Psalm 22 and what the disciples faced on the road to Emmaus in Luke 24. So let's look at how they handled the fog of doubt. Like we mentioned last Sunday, David wrote this song in a season of deep suffering. We don't know exactly the moment of when that suffering was. It might have been when he was running from his life from Saul. It could have been when his son Absalom betrayed him. But we know this, that David, as God's chosen king, felt utterly abandoned by the people and by God. In his moment of feeling abandoned, God inspired David to write the song as both a personal cry and a prophetic glimpse into what Jesus would suffer. And that's part of why we're doing this series now as we lead into the Easter season. We'll pick up where we left off last Sunday with verse 12. So we're looking at Psalm 22, 12 to 13. Many bulls surround me, strong bulls of Bashan encircle me, roaring lions that tear their prey open their mouths wide against me. All right, so for these next few verses, there's kind of a framework to how we're going to dive into each one of them, and that is we're going to talk about what David is referencing, we're going to talk about how this is applicable to Jesus at the cross, and then we're going to talk about how this might be applicable to each one of us. So David's reference to the strong horned bulls and the roaring lions was him describing how he's being circled up by large and imposing enemies who want him dead. Flash forward at the cross. Jesus was surrounded by enemies, those who plotted his execution. And now maybe today with us, a teenager feeling surrounded by expectations, pressure, and uncertainty, an adult weighed down by responsibilities that seem to close in on every single side. And then the follower of Jesus, who once felt confident in faith, but now feels like doubt is pressing in relentlessly. So let's move on to 14 to 15. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax. It is melted within me. My mouth is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. So David has no physical strength left, physically or mentally. He feels that he's about to break like a dried clay pot. He's barely able to speak, and he expects to die soon. And if we move forward to the cross, Jesus was physically drained and thirsty. And then for us, maybe it's a young adult who feels directionless, uncertain, drained by unanswered prayers. The parent whose heart melts with fear over their child's future. Or the seasoned follower of Jesus who feels spiritually dry, wondering where God is. Verses 16 through 18. Dogs surround me. A pack of villains encircle me. They pierce my hands and my feet. All my bones are on display. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my clothes among them and cast lots for my garments. So David's wasting away. His enemies are waiting for him to die. And as they wait for his death, they're dividing up his clothes. Perhaps even scavenger dogs are biting at him to see if he's dead. And at the cross, Jesus' hands and feet were pierced by nails. He was put on display for people to stare at him as if he was a criminal. While he was hanging on the cross, the soldiers divided up his clothes amongst themselves. And now, bringing it forward to today, maybe this person who has been hurt by others, betrayed, humiliated, stripped of security. Or what about the single parent, the widow, the person who feels forgotten and alone? Or the follower of Jesus who wonders why their faith hasn't shielded them from suffering? So now we go on to 19 through 21. But you, Lord, do not be far from me. You are my strength. Come quickly to help me. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dogs. Rescue me from the mouth of the lions. Save me from the horns of the wild oxen. David refuses to stop praying, and he asks God for his rescue. David still believes in his deliverance, because with God, all things are possible. And David reminds himself that his strength only comes from God. So we're going to fast forward now to the days after Jesus' death and his resurrection. And there are some followers who didn't know that the resurrection had happened. So here's what's in Luke 24, 13 through 16. Now that same day, the two of them is most likely Cleopas and his wife Mary, who were followers of Jesus and had been in his inner circle of followers. The two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. So after Jesus' death, they weren't staying in the city. No one was staying in the city. Everybody was scattered from everything that had happened. They're leaving. They've given up hope because they didn't understand what had just occurred. So this wasn't just grief. They believed that the story was over. So how often do we distance ourselves from faith when things don't go quite as we expected? It might have been a supernatural thing that they couldn't recognize Jesus. For us, sometimes our expectations of God prevent us from seeing how he's actually working in our lives. Doubt makes our perception foggy. So have you ever been so caught up in disappointment that you couldn't see what God was actually doing right in front of you? So he asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find his body. They came and told us they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. But they did not see Jesus. So they had all of the facts, but they just didn't know how to put this all together. They're confused. They're not exactly sure what they're supposed to be believing at this point. The last few days have not gone as they expected. They expected that Jesus was going to be a victorious military king, not a suffering savior. They saw Jesus' crucifixion as the end of the story, not the middle of it. So how often do we assume that God has failed us because he didn't work the way that we expected? So he said to them, "How foolish you are and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." So Jesus is being really clear with them that they're not lacking the information, but they're lacking understanding. They had the information, they came up with the wrong conclusion. The followers were stuck in doubt because they hadn't yet connected Jesus' suffering to God's plan. Jesus was reframing their expectations, or he's putting the puzzles together before they could truly see him. So Jesus connects the dots from Moses to the prophets, showing them how suffering was always a part of God's plan. Sometimes we don't need a sign from God. We need to see what he's already said. So where in your life might be God calling you to trust what he has already revealed rather than wait for something new? So what do you do when doubt creeps in? What do you focus on? Do you replay past disappointments? Or recall God's past faithfulness? Are you stuck looking at your current struggle? Or are you reminding yourself of what God has done before? Are you walking away from faith, thinking God has abandoned you? Or have you been expecting God to move one way, and now you're struggling because he's moved another? So let's be real. Are you willing to let God reshape your understanding? The followers didn't need a new miracle. They just needed a new perspective. Sometimes we don't need God to change our situation. We need him to change our vision. So when we're doubting, we can do two things. We can look back at God's faithfulness, as David did, and we can look forward to his promises. Jesus knew the resurrection was coming. So notice what happens when Jesus connects the dots for all of his followers. They got up and they returned at once to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. So notice that the disciples went from walking away from Jerusalem in defeat to running back in joy. Understanding changes everything for them. So doubt can either lead us away from the faith or it pushes us deeper into it. Jesus, through his Spirit, is walking with us, just like he did with them. We may not see him clearly yet, though. All right, so as you go into this week in listening to this message, there's three questions that we'd like you to think about and contemplate on, pray on. The first one, am I letting my doubt push me away from God, or is it drawing me closer to him? How has God been faithful in the past, and how can remembering that help me trust him for the future? Am I walking away from my faith like the disciples on the road? Or am I willing to let Jesus reshape my understanding? Have a blessed week, and we look forward to seeing you next week for the conclusion of this series.